During the Sunday school, I gave folks an opportunity to write down a prayer request or two on a little sheet of paper that I will pray for this morning during the pastoral prayer section of time in just a few minutes. I wonder if you might like to do that as well, so that when the offering plate comes by, you can just drop in a scrap of paper and just note on there that it's for prayer. Try to arrange things so that the men can quickly shuffle through those and grab them, give them to me, and then we'll have prayer that way this morning. So please take note of that. I also would like to, before I give the other announcements, to ask Brother Bill Smith if he will, back there, up here, whatever you want, just tell us about this insert in the bulletin, please.
Yes, sir. Real briefly.
There you go.
Okay, well, those of you who may not have been aware or not sure if you're able to, we're having our first annual golf outing. Only one little detail I left out on here is at Stonebridge. So if you look in your bulletin, this is our first annual. It's going to be exciting. So male or female over 18, whether you can play or not, doesn't matter. It's going to be a scramble format. So best ball, meaning if there's three or four people on a team, you'll all say drive, and then you take the best lie ball that's available, then you hit your second shot, and so forth and so on. We're also going to have prizes for, like, longest putt, closest to the pin, longest drive, a couple surprise categories and things like that, such as some of the prizes might be like a gift certificate for CBD, Christian Book Distributors, or a dinner for two or something like that. So please come out. It'll be a good time. Next Saturday, 4:30, Stonebridge Golf Course. Also, we're working out details once we get a final count for like a dinner at the turn for like hot dogs or hamburgers or something like that, since it will be around dinner time. Please sign up on the very back bulletin board as you walk right out of the doors when you leave today, and then I'll be in contact with everybody via email or phone this week to firm everything up, and it should be a great time. So please ask any questions. Becky. Yep. Very good deal if you're not a golfer, but $23 for 18 holes and a cart. So you don't have to walk the whole thing. We can cart it. Next question. If you have your own caddy you would like to bring, go right ahead. So, no, you not need caddies. Yeah, we don't necessarily need caddies. So, but, yeah, if you're 18 and over, please sign up. We'd love to have you. Any other questions or anything right now? Great. Give me a holler. Thanks, Pastor.
Okay, great. Didn't think about that question, did you, brother? All right. Okay, tonight at 5 o'clock, I'd like to encourage you to consider being involved in our Vacation Bible School. We have tonight at 5 our one of our pre-school meetings. We're planning to have the Vacation Bible School at the end of August, 23rd through 26th. Dave Kurowicki is going to be doing the lion's share of the teaching, kind of a platform Bible school like we did last year. And so you don't have to worry about volunteering for that. But we have a number of things we need. I've left a list in my office, but things like helping us coordinate getting snacks, prizes, listening to Bible verses, registration, just little jobs that if each person would just take one little job on some of those nights, all those nights, whatever it is, and just say, I'm going to do that, that will make it a lot easier for us and a lot more effective, since it won't be all piled on to just a few people. So I want to encourage you, let the Spirit of God work on you now and this afternoon about that, and say, I'm going to be there at 5. I don't know what I can do, but I can do something to help with the kids. This is one of our big outreaches to our kids, but also to other children that they would invite as well. So take that under your hat, as it were, and think about it this afternoon. We'd love to have you come at 5 o'clock. At 6 o'clock, we are privileged again to have Andy Bennett speak to us regarding Old Testament sacrifices. Last time he went through the various types of sacrifices. This time he has planned to speak about the efficacy of those sacrifices relative to the New Testament. Did they forgive sin? Didn't they? How does that relate to Christ's final sacrifice and so on? So that should be very interesting for us to listen to. Also this evening at 6 o'clock, probably after we have our song service. Anna Widgen would like to invite all of you teenage young women to one of the other classrooms around here. And she's going to start a series of discipleship lessons for young ladies on topics that are of great interest to you at that stage. So I've already talked to a couple of you young ladies this morning, and I will try to get the rest of you before the end of the service today, before you leave. But just to make a personal invitation to you, please come and work with Anna. She's got a book that's a very helpful book. I've reviewed it, and it's written by Elizabeth George, and it's something about a young woman after God's own heart is the title. And it's a she's done one for women and young women. Her husband's done one for men and young men. And it's just a very helpful book, I think. And so I encourage you to come. Parents that have a teenage daughter, please make an effort to bring them if it's at all possible. I know that they will benefit greatly from it. That's tonight and each Sunday night hereafter, except for those on which we have the Lord's Supper. Until you're finished, whenever that will be. Okay. We've talked about a number of these other announcements already. Just want to also invite you all, young families. Again, we met with the Collins last time, but this time in August, the Bushes have invited us over to their home, and we look forward to that opportunity to fellowship and get to know them. So RSVP to them. Kevin, why don't you just, there you go. See that gentleman there, or his wife. Mackenzie won't be able to help you yet. But see them if you can come, and they'll have a better count of how many folks are coming. We also announced last week the Pierces had another baby, Alden James. And so Kara and Anna, the twins, have another one to contend with now. And so rejoice with them as they report that to us as well. Faithway Baptist Church is having a vacation Bible school starting tomorrow, 9:30 to noon, and every day this week. We're going to try to get our kids to there, and trust if you have children as well, ages two, three, four, all the way up, you can take them to that vacation Bible school as well to get them some extra message from the Scriptures. And I think there's one other. Yes. Finally, the long-awaited, much-anticipated missions conference has been scheduled. It's taken me a while, but September 13 through 20, Sunday through Sunday, we're going to have at least three missionaries. September 13, Daniel and Karen DiVerna with Biblical Ministries Worldwide, a new couple, young couple that's going to Japan to team up with some missionaries that are there. So they have been recommended by two churches to us. One church is pastored by Pastor Bill Muller in Pennsylvania. I know Brother Muller from Gospel Mission of South America. We share responsibilities on the board. So they come with high recommendations. And also on during the week, a couple of nights at least, we will have Pastor and Mrs. Steve Anderson. That will be Tuesday and Wednesday night of that week, which should be the 15th and 16th, I believe, if I have my dates right. And then the following weekend, we are able to host Tom and Debbie Gibbons and their family. They are very much looking forward to see you, Widgens. And Anna, they hope that you are, is she here? There. They're hoping that you'll be here still so they can see you. But they will be up here on the 19th, Saturday, 20th, Sunday, and then I think they have to leave on that Monday. But they'll be with us as well. So that's how it's shaping up so far, and we'll see what else the Lord provides for us in the meanwhile. But I hope you'll be able to come to that ministry for that week of missions emphasis. All right, I'm going to hold the announcements there and ask the men if they'll come forward and take up your offering for the Lord's work. And also drop in a prayer request or two if you have one there in the offering plate as well. Thank you. Thank you. Daniel. Tabula, please. Pray.
Heavenly Father, we bring up our prayers. We continue with the prayer, Lord, and listen to your word, Lord. We're glad for you for giving us the ability to give, Lord. Even when we're not happy to give, Lord. We're glad to stand up and pray for this offering, Lord. I feel like you do use this word from you, this book, the church, and the life for you, Lord. We're glad to do that to help us know and to watch for us.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen, for your help this morning. I'm going to be reading just a few verses from the letter of James. You'll find the text in chapter 4. For our scripture reading this morning, I thought it would be appropriate just to remind us of this passage to help us along the way of godliness and purity and peace in our homes and works and family lives. James chapter 4. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scriptures say in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. I thought it would be appropriate, again, just to remind us about this passage. I'll take those, brother. We mentioned this when we preached through James chapter 4. Lots of requests. Good. And I have another one or two here. Okay. When I ask you this question, just the very question that James asked in chapter 4 and verse number 1, where do wars and fights come from among you? If you are in a battle with another person, if you are in a battle with your spouse, with your family, children, parents, young people, if you're in a battle with your parents, where does that come from? James gives us a plain, simple, easy answer. He says, asking in a question form, but if he were to say a statement, he would just say this: they come from your desires for pleasure. The desires that war in your soul. The problem is not everything outside around you, it is within. The problem is on the inside. These lusts that war in your members. You're murdering and coveting, you cannot obtain, you hate, you fight, you have battles one with another, but you don't have because you don't ask. Probably because, why? You're not interested in asking God because you know that you're asking for things that you shouldn't have. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, even things that you might should have. He says you're asking amiss because you want to misuse them. You want to use them on your own pleasures. Lord, give me a better job, please. I'd like to make more money for myself. Or, Lord, if you would be pleased, I would be willing to take a better job so that I might give more and do more for the Lord's work. Which is it? I would, Lord, like to be able to fix this thing in my house so that I might spend it on my own pleasures. Or, Lord, if you'd let me fix this, I'd be pleased because I could use it to house missionaries here and to make them comfortable. Lord, I need a new van. We sort of do, but you know, just because we want the space and we need to be able to stretch out, and you know, a DVD player would be nice for those long trips to keep the kids quiet. Or, Lord, I need a new van because I need to be able to pick up people without having to take multiple trips, and it would be a little more convenient. I would use it to pick up children to bring to church, even if they scratched it a little bit. See the difference? When you ask for things with the wrong motivations, why should God give you that? You know? But if you ask with the right motivation, then you will be pleased if God responds, and you won't mind if He doesn't, because you know that He knows the best. But if you are at battle over something, you know it's coming from your desires for pleasure that war in your members, of whatever nature they may be. Pleasure for yourself, a pleasure for whatever it could be. Your own desires to have, your own desires to present yourself before people, whatever it may be. These things don't come from outside, and they don't come from great motives. They come from lusts that war in your members. Very simple. We have to take responsibility for these things. We have to recognize that we have to stop shifting the blame. I've often thought, I've recently thought that when I'm counseling people in my office or at the parsonage, what I should do is say, especially if there's two or more involved, I should say this: in this office, you are not allowed to pin any blame on anybody else but yourself. Don't try to blame anybody else. Not your kid, not your spouse, not your parent, whatever it is. No other blame. If you're going to say anything that has to do with blame, it only can be yourself. Not in this office. I don't want to hear it. Because we are so often the case, we're looking for another scapegoat. The problem is here. The problem is there. The problem's in my past. The problem is I don't have enough of this or whatever. No, the problem is in your own heart. Sin. And it needs to be dealt with. You need to turn away from it. That's what James says here. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. He gives you grace if you humble yourself. Well, that's my little short sermon. I'll get to my longer one later. But remember that. Very important. Stop yourself in the middle of your argument. Where is this coming from? And then hopefully you will humble yourself before God and just shut your mouth. And remember that these kinds of things come from lusts and bad desires that are within you. Well, let me have us turn to the Lord in prayer now as we meditate on that. And I want to go through some of these requests that have been brought to my attention. I have not seen these before or read these. I'll start by praying for some of our co-workers in the gospel and then through these items as well. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for allowing us the opportunity to pause and read the Scriptures, to meditate upon them, and now to set aside some special time to pray. The Scriptures have told us to pray without ceasing. And Lord, we bow the knee, we bow our heads and close our eyes before You, that we might put away all distractions and focus our attention completely upon you and upon these matters which have been brought before us this day. Lord, I want to pray for our co-workers in the gospel, those who have it not as comfortable as we have, with the nice chairs, lights, air conditioning and heat and all of that that you've given to us. Some of them, Lord, meet in secrecy, meet in fear, cannot go to the church all at one time. They must go by one by one or two by two. They are being watched. They are in danger of being hauled away. We pray for those, our brothers in the Middle East. We think of those also in communist China. Pray that you might lift the veil over those places and allow there to be more freedom to preach the gospel. And for our brothers and sisters in Christ, some have suffered gravely because of the gospel. And I pray that you will strengthen them in the midst of persecution and help their example to be good for us as well, that we might learn what it means to suffer for the sake of Christ and to live for Him. For he who has suffered has ceased from sin. And Lord, we look to you for that provision, that we might also live pure lives. Heavenly Father, I want to pray for our dear sister Becky and her children. She's asked prayer. Dear God, would you work in Jared and Janelle's hearts this morning? We wish that they could be here. Well, they could. But we pray that you might just work in their hearts in a special way to give them the desire to be under the ministry of the Word of God and in the fellowship of God's people, that they would recognize that this is protective for them as saints, that it would just be heavy upon their hearts until they are obedient to you. Lord, help them to love you with all of their hearts, with all of their minds, with all of their beings, and thus to serve you as well. For who is he who is the one who loves except he who is the one who obeys? Because you have said, he who loves me keeps my commandments. And so, Lord, we pray that for them as well this morning. Lord, there is somebody in our assembly who has asked me to pray that they would devote more of their time to honoring God in their whole being, in their body, soul, and mind, and strength. Lord, I pray that they will feel the bands of the world loosened, those that would pull them in so many directions and distract them from their devotion and service to you. Might those things be unburdened from them, and they feel a glorious liberty of the children of God from sin and from the distractions and evil nature of this old world. Might they rise above that and be enabled to serve you with their whole hearts. Our brother Vincent has also asked us to pray for his dear aunt and uncle, especially for Katie, who has been afflicted with this Parkinson's disease for some time. Lord, her body is racked with difficulties from this debilitating disease, and we lift her up before you and ask you to give her comfort in the time of her trial. We pray, if it's your will, that you might give her relief from her symptoms. But we know, Lord, that it's your will that she would glorify your name. And so we pray this in the name of Jesus for her, that she would do this. And we pray for Uncle Marvin as well and his health. And we just pray that you will help him as he cares for her and the needs that they have. Lord, somebody has asked us also and reminded us very fittingly to pray for our troops, particularly those that are in Iraq still, in that dangerous place. But we remember also there's increasing danger in Afghanistan and other places in the world as well. Father, will you watch over them? I pray especially for the chaplains that are there, that we would be able to hear that there are sound, good chaplains preaching the Word of God to these men and counseling them from it, and that it would not just be a generic spirituality, but it would be that they preach and teach Christ and the resurrection from the dead to these individuals, these soldiers. Lord, I want to pray for Sean Brady this morning, one of our friends in the church or of somebody in the church. And we pray for you to grant him relief from his difficulty with his sinus problems. These things have also debilitated our sister Carol Griffin, and we pray for her as well in the same regard, that if it be your will that you would touch them with healing. And we pray that you will continue to help Carol as well heal from her surgery that she had just recently. Some have prayed, Lord, for strength in the midst of struggles with their family and children. Oh, Father, I pray for the families. I pray for the children. I pray for our young people, Lord, that they would know that it's more important almost than anything for them to honor their father and mother, to demonstrate their belief in God by their honoring of their parents, that if they do not honor their parents, they do not honor God. So, Lord, we pray for this, that this will relieve the struggle with the young people and some of the families. Lord, the world pulls on them as well in very strong ways and can warp the thinking and cause the desires to be wrong. And so we pray about that. And we pray for the continuation of some of our families that have difficulties of one way or another, that you might patch those over and help them. Lord, I want to remember also somebody's employer, Mr. Warren, and also Aaron and family, who whatever these folks' needs are, Lord, you know them. And though we cannot pray specifically for them this morning, not knowing the problems, we just commit them to you and pray most importantly that each one of them is born again and knows Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, may they then face the difficulties of life with that as their foundation. Lord, for all of us, I pray this morning that you will instill in us the fear of God, which we would find to be the beginning of wisdom, the foundational element of a wise life, that we would not treat you like a buddy only or some cosmic killjoy, but as you are in truth, the gracious, the merciful, the compassionate, the loving, faithful, infinite, merciful God, one who has desired a relationship with us and yet desires holiness in our lives as well. And we'll thank you for that. Thank you for each of these requests and the many others that were not shared with us today, though they're on our minds. We thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you for these. I appreciate that. You can tell these folks that we have prayed for them as a church all together. And I hope that will be an encouragement to them. At this time, I'd like to invite my wife to come and sing. Are you or is Betty? Betty is. Okay. Okay, all right. One of our favorites, Mrs. Widgen is going to do for us. Thank you.
But most to praise. minister till the blood-red banner be unfurled. O'er lands that still in heathen darkness lie, o'er deserts where no cross is lifted high. And stir me, Lord, till all my heart is filled with strong compassion for these souls, till thy compelling word drives me to pray, till thy constraining love reach to the poles. Far north and south in burning deep desire, till east and west are caught in love's great fire. Stir me, Lord, till prayer is pain, till prayer is joy, till prayer turns in to praise. Stir me till heart and will and mind, yea, all, is wholly thine to use through all the days. And stir till I learn to pray exceedingly. Stir till I learn to wait expectantly. Thy heart was stirred by love's intensest fire till thou didst give thine only Son and thy best beloved one till to the dreadful cross that I might live. And stir me to give myself so back to thee. Stir till I give myself again through thee. Stir me, Lord. For I can see thy glorious triumph day began to break. The dawn already gilds the eastern sky. O Church of Christ, arise, awake, awake. And stir us, Lord, as heralds in that day. For night is past, our Lord is on his way.
We'll be studying in Ephesians 6 again this morning, starting in verse number 18. Ephesians 6, 18. I have to tell you, I just had a special season of joy preparing this message, particularly on Thursday. As I was preparing, I thought, well, why don't I practice what I'm about to be preaching? The text tells us to pray. It tells us that God's armor consists at least in this one additional item, and that is prayer. And so on Thursday, off and on throughout the day, I was able to devote time to prayer, have my list of people to pray for before me, and my computer screen was filled up with prayer requests, and it was just a great joy to be able to do that. I don't know when I have had more sweet times of fellowship with the Lord than just in prayer, especially lengthy times when we can just set aside and have prayer. Some folks teach that prayer here is not particularly one of the pieces of armor that Paul is mentioning. Starting back in verse number 14, we looked at these all last time. Remember, we said that there was truth, there was righteousness, stability or preparation in the gospel. There was faith, which was pictured in Paul's mind as a shield to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. There was the helmet of salvation, which I equated with not only assurance, but confidence in the midst of battle in more general terms. That even in the midst of attack, in the midst of difficulties, you have a deep-seated confidence in God and in the gospel. And finally, we also saw that the scriptures, the Bible, the words of God were the sixth piece of armor that he mentions here. All of these had to be taken up in the Christian's life, not necessarily at one decisive moment in the past, and they stick with you all the time, but constantly, every day, if you will, all the time, making sure that your life is girded about with truth, is covered with righteousness, is planted in the gospel. These pieces of armor were not the emphasis in the metaphor, but it was the spiritual virtues that they represented that was the emphasis. So truth, so righteousness, that's all he's saying. He could have shortened this whole passage up and just said, look, you need to be truthful, you need to be righteous, you need to be grounded in the gospel, you need to take the scriptures, you need to have confidence and faith in God. Without these things, you will fall. You will not be able to defend against the wily tactics of the devil. And so some say, well, now we've moved on from there. I'm going to argue this morning that we haven't moved on yet. Prayer is a key piece of this armor, to use that metaphor again, that God has given to us to help us stand strong against the wiles of the devil. We can see at least two main ideas here in this passage. First, verse 18. Paul is commending to us, really commanding us, that believers must engage in vigilant prayer. He's interested in prayer, obviously. Every prayer and supplication and all saints and being watchful. And that whole motif there fills up verse 18 so that it's not mistakable. He wants us to be involved in what I call for now comprehensive prayer. We'll have to unpack that in just a moment. In verses 19 through 20, he is asking specifically that they would pray for him, Paul, that Paul would be bold in his handling of the gospel, in his proclamation, in his own ministry, that he would be bold, not ashamed, not scared. Let me read through my translation of the passage then, starting in verse 18. Through every prayer and petition, praying at every opportunity in the Spirit. And to this end, being vigilant with all persistence and petition for all the saints. And for me, that words may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, so that with boldness I will make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I might speak boldly in it as I ought to speak. Now, the first thing we should notice here, again, is that Paul is telling us believers must be engaged in vigilant, active, diligent, persistent prayer. So the seventh piece of armor then, after the scriptures, the seventh piece of armor is simply this: prayer. Paul is interested in the words all and every in this verse. You might have noticed that. He talks about always, all prayer, with all perseverance, and for all the saints. Paul is fond of this kind of language. You might remember in Ephesians 1:19, he talks about God's power this way. He says the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, using their three or four words for power and adding these adjectives, exceeding greatness of it. He does the same thing in chapter 3 and verse number 20. There he says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. He likes to add up words, pile on words together to not be redundant, but to get the point across here that he's interested in comprehensive prayer. This is all everything prayer. Anything that's about prayer, this is it right here in this verse. He talks about all the time. He says praying always, really at every opportunity. And despite the objections we may throw up in Paul's face, the idea really is all the time, just like it is in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, that we would pray without ceasing. The kind of Christian existence that is at evening and at morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud. I think it's the 55th Psalm that says that. David crying out to God through the night, praying upon our bed if we're awake, in the morning, in the evening, before meals, minimally, saying thanks to God for what he's given to us out of the abundance of his blessings, but for all other manner of things as well, all the time, at every opportunity. He's telling us, as part of the armor, that we need to be praying all the time, because that is a protective thing. And it needs to be kind of, you know, always up, shield always up here. The shield of faith, the shield of prayer as well. Perhaps you have failed in temptation because you failed in prayer. You have failed in temptation because you have failed to pray. The fact is that because Satan is out there trying to get you, as it were, really, I mean, don't be paranoid, but be paranoid. You know what I mean? Satan is scheming now, looking for somebody to devour. Sin would, as it did in the life of Cain, crouch at the door and want to jump you when you open the door. You have to be always ready, so you have to be always praying. If you're not always praying, you're not always ready. You're not on that ground. Are you even on ground that allows you to pray? Peter says, dwell with your wives with understanding, gentlemen, lest your prayers be hindered. God will not hear the one who regards iniquity in his heart. God does not hear wickedness. God does not hear when sin is prevalent. All the time, every opportunity. Some have pictured this like when you take up the sword and you take up the helmet, these pieces of armor, you're doing it with prayer to be ready because an attack is imminent. Temptation has come. The first thing you should do is ask God for help. Reflect upon God's promise in 1 Corinthians 10, for example, that there is no temptation that has taken me except such as is common to man. And God, I know you are faithful. Help me. Help me. You need prayer because you cannot on your own. We're also praying not only all the time, but with all manner of prayer. Notice that Paul says with all prayer and supplication, part of his kind of redundancy, not in a bad sense, as I said before, but to get the point across, is to say that with this manner, be praying. That is, any kind of prayer you can think of that's a prayer, be praying it. Whether it's long or short, whether it's general, that's the word for prayer, or specific requests, that's the word for supplication. Whatever it is, be praying that way, generally or specifically, long or short. Simple or complex, or whatever you might say, you should be praying with all of that, all the time. You should also be praying, he says, with all perseverance. Look there, I'm skipping over some phrases because I'm going to come back to them. But he says, with all perseverance. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1, the Lord taught the disciples a parable that men ought always to pray and not to faint, not to lose heart. And so he goes on to tell the parable of this poor woman who approaches this judge and says, give me justice from my adversary. Give me justice, give me justice, give me justice. And the unjust judge says, well, I'll do it just to get her off my back. How much more will your Father in heaven, if you come to him persistently, asking for something that is in accord with his will, how much more will he give you a good gift? How much more? Perseverance here means obstinate persistence. Sticking to it. Holding out with intense effort and not giving up. Persistence or perseverance in prayer. We're to be praying all the time for all manner of prayers with this kind of obstinacy. Not losing heart or giving up. And then finally, Paul's prayer or command to us here is that we have supplication requests, specific ones like we prayed this morning. That's why I asked for you to gather those up for me. So I would try to model that and we would do that together today. Supplication for all the saints. All believers are subject to the devil's wily tactics. Not just you, but all. All that are here in Fellowship Bible Church, all that are here in Ann Arbor and Ypsilanti, all that are here in the United States, all that are in all the other nations of the earth as well. We must be praying for all the saints. 1 Timothy 2:1, Paul says, I urge, therefore, that prayers and supplications be made for all men. Not even all saints, but all men. All people, everybody. The prayer is also listed here in terms of all these items that Paul is going down, not only with all the time and all types of prayer and all perseverance and all the saints, but also, he says, in the Spirit. You see that earlier in verse number 18. This is prayer in the Spirit. Romans 8:26 is a cross-reference for you there that the Spirit helps in our infirmities. You feel like, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say. This problem is too much for me. It's, you know, my children. I can't believe the things that I need to pray for them. It's my parents. It's somebody in my family that's not saved. Lord, I've cried out to you for them for year upon year upon year, and I don't even know how to ask anymore. I need the help of the Spirit of God. You're praying in the Spirit. The Spirit is in you. And you're praying in the sphere of that Spirit, the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit. And finally, Paul says, we have to be watchful or vigilant in our prayers. This does not simply mean watching for answers, although that's important for us to do, isn't it? You pray. You know, you pray on a Wednesday night, you pray on Saturday morning with the men at men's prayer, and then you kind of forget about remembering the answers that are pouring in one way or the other. Watch for those things. See how God has done in answer to your prayer, and then thank Him in prayer again for those things that He's done. This kind of vigilance, though, is the kind of vigilance of on the edge of your seat, lying awake at night, because there's something lurking around the corner kind of vigilance. This is night watchman kind of vigilance. This is being alert to what is going on. The devil is bringing the A game. First stringers, not backbenchers, against us. And we have to be alert and ready. It's this alertness that's accompanied by the all perseverance, not giving up, being obstinately persistent, and the specific requests for all the saints. That as we're being vigilant in that, not giving up in our vigilance, and in the midst of it, giving requests for all these saints. One of the commentators that I read made this connection between prayer and alertness. And I think it's helpful, although it doesn't come right specifically out of the propositions of this text. But it is this, that prayer and alertness are correlated together in such a way that if you're praying, you're going to be more alert and vigilant and watchful. And if you're more alert to the things that are going on around you spiritually, then you're going to in turn then pray more, and you're going to be more vigilant, and you're going to be more prayerful, and you're going to be more vigilant and more prayerful. And you see these things strengthen themselves. They become a circle or self-strengthening, as it were. But if you are not praying, you're going to be more dull. And more dull means less watchful. And less watchful means less concern about the things that are going on around, and not so much on the edge of your seat and not watching for the thing that could come around the corner spiritually at us. And then you'll pray less, and you'll be less watchful, and you'll be less prayerful and less watchful. Where are you on those cycles? Are you being vigilant in prayer, watching out for the attacks of the evil one? Or do they just kind of, you know, broadside you? And you're like, whoa, what hit me? It could be a vicious cycle or a productive cycle. Dullness to less prayer, or alertness to more prayer. Let me mention, before we close this morning, the place of prayer in the armor of God. Some people have said this is a method of communication. It's not so much part of the armor. It's moved on to another subsection in the text. But I think if you just read this down, if you were listening to this as part of Paul's audience, somebody reading this out to the church, I'm just going down, shod your feet and taking the shield of faith and take the helmet and the sword of the Spirit, praying always with all prayer and pray for me. You wouldn't necessarily think that these are two separate ideas, would you? You'd think, wow, this is Paul's antidote for a spiritually dangerous existence. On the edge of being attacked by the devil without proper preparation, Paul is saying, here's how you prepare. Prayer included. Prayer is just as protective as faith, as righteousness, as truth, as the Word of God. It is necessary, just as the other elements that we examined last time. To put it another way, let me put it this way. If you are not praying, you have left a wide open gap in your armor. It may be your back. You may be thinking about the other things, but you've forgotten about prayer. It is wide open for him to attack you. One of the vital elements of your defenses are down. You might have all the armor. You might have the guns ready, safety's off, pointed in the right direction. But if your radar is not on, you're not going to see the planes coming. You're going to be dead. Spiritual radar, prayer. You know, there's a lot of practical benefits to prayer. One is, if you're spending time praying, that's a good use of your time. Better than some other things you could be doing that might be useless or not as good or even evil. You're replacing those with prayer. That's a good start. But also, prayer forces you to focus your mind on God. It forces you to put your mind on things above and not on things on this earth. It cultivates holiness. After all, you're coming before a holy God. How are you going to do that in prayer if you're just, you know, God, here I am, just as I am, you know? That's okay for somebody that's coming to Christ. You say, yeah, you come now. You repent of your sins. But if you just, you say, I'm a believer and it doesn't matter how I live and I just come before God and expect Him to answer my prayer, that's not wise. It's not going to work. So prayer helps you cultivate holiness. Prayer helps you put on the armor of God, all these other pieces. Prayer helps you in the time of attack, when you're being tempted, when you're doubting, when your faith is weak. This is another layer, if you will. You have the shield of faith out in front of the breastplate of righteousness and out in front of that prayer. Another thing that has to be defeated to get at you, as it were. And also, another benefit of prayer is you're actually helping other believers when you pray for them. There's a brother that in Christ who has occasionally called me more recently. Last night he called. It was, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 o'clock. And he just said he was praying. Just out of the blue. Just praying for me, for the church, for our ministry this morning, that it would be powerful. And then he said, our church services get over earlier, so while you're preaching, I'm going to be praying. Any effect that we have today is not just because of my words, but it's because of the Spirit of God working and perhaps that man's prayers are moving the hand of God to move you so that you will become more like Him. You will become more interested in this whole area of prayer. It's protective. This is just as much as the other armor. You need to be praying. If you're not praying, you're in trouble. So let me ask you this. Are you regularly praying? You know, not just on schedule, once a week regular. I'm talking about frequently regular, all the time regular. Are you making opportunities for yourself to be able to pray? Are you recognizing that you have to take opportunities to pray because the devil's taking opportunities against you? And so whenever those times arise, you better be ready, having prayer right in hand. You have to understand that frequent prayer is necessary because the attacks will be frequent as well. The more you pray, the more holy you will be. If you're praying rightly and living before God in that atmosphere of prayer in the Spirit, always for all saints, never giving up, giving yourself to that, never giving out for all the saints and for yourself. And I haven't been able to even get to verses 19 to 20 this morning, but I would ask you, maybe this week, you put into practice what's in 18 and 19 and 20, and we'll talk more about it next time. Pray for me, that utterance may be given to me, your pastor. I have opportunities this week. Well, you have opportunities this week as well. There are some people that need to be saved this week. And your words may be the last words they hear as an unbeliever when they transition to being a believer. Who is it? Who is it going to be? Can you pray for me, and I pray for you, for boldness to preach the gospel, to be always ready with this armor of prayer? I trust that you will do that, and I will do that. Let's just look to the Lord now in prayer. Heavenly Father, our prayer to God, to you, to this noon hour, is that you will make us people to pray. You will convict our hearts that we can do all kinds of other things, but if we don't communicate with God, we are going to be impoverished Christians. Father, give us diligence, perseverance, supplication, all of these things that verse 18 has told us, and shake us to the core that we would know that if we are not praying, we are left open for attack of temptation and doubt and Satan and the world and evil. Father, make this church a church of prayer. Give us men and women who will pray on Wednesday, pray on Saturday, pray every day, privately and in our public meetings, so that we would be those that follow the admonition that we must engage in vigilant prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this few minutes that we've been able to spend to think about this matter. Help us to put it into practice. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.